Before we begin this podcast, we just wanted to give you a quick trigger warning. There's some sensitive information that we're talking about, and we just wanted to provide that little warning before you begin.
Shout out to Jeremiah Otis for creating our intro song called Cree Anthem.
Grassroots First Nation Two-Spirit LGBTQ group, and we aim to create safe spaces for Two-Spirit LGBTQ youth to begin, you know, the important work that needs to be done in regards to mental health and creating that community. And part of Nijaic Alliance is this podcast, which is called the In Between People podcast. And the in between people is, you know, we are neither one or the other. We are in between. We are neither female nor male. We are in between those two ends. And that's why it's called the In Between People podcast. So we'll be talking about our experiences. We'll be talking to special guests as we move along. I was in high school this one time, and I didn't know I was gay yet. Well, I kind of did know, but I was really denying it. And my friend, all of a sudden, she's like, "Hey, Mills," and I was like, "What?" We're at a football game, and she's like, "Mills, are you a lesbian?" And I was like, "What? No, this is in grade 9, eh?" I was like, "I'm not a lesbian. Why do you think that?" And she's like, "I don't know. I'm just asking." I'm like, "Okay." Fast forward a year, I'm in grade 10. And I was like, "You know what? Maybe I am a lesbian." So I came out. Anyway, that's my coming out story. But you know, I was really denying that part of myself for so long. I noticed that there was something different with me when I was young. And I didn't feel comfortable with it for some reason. And I kind of started looking into why I didn't feel comfortable just recently. If you ever watch like movies from the 2000s, early 2000s, there's a lot of gay jokes. Like, you know, there's this negative connotation with being gay. And I came out as a lesbian, but it wasn't until a couple years later that I realized that I'm not a lesbian, you know, like, I feel like the term lesbian doesn't completely encapsulate, like, I don't even know if that's the right word. It doesn't completely capture who I am as a person. And I read Mane Shikabi's book, and I realized that I identify with being Two-Spirit so much more. And the reason why I identify with being Two-Spirit is because, you know, I have both masculine and feminine spirits in me. Like, sometimes I'm more feminine, sometimes I'm more masculine. And that's why I identify with being Two-Spirit. You know, I've fallen in love with women, but I don't think I can fall in love with a man. And sometimes I aspire to have more masculine traits than feminine traits. So that's kind of like how I found my own identity, and that's my story. Part of my story, mind you. There's so much more to the story. But yeah, that's kind of like where I come from. Leslie, what about you? How did you figure out that you are who you are today?
I think I was a little kid that I felt different from all the other kids back in kindergarten anyways, and I was more attracted to you know, those dolls, and I wanted to play house with the other girls, and I didn't know what it was then. And yeah, and as a teenager growing up, I didn't feel comfortable being this way, I guess. And like you said about these negative jokes that they had back in the early 2000s, I discovered that homophobic jokes, and that I didn't want to come out, especially growing up in the res where there was a heavy influence on Christianity too, that gay people are gonna burn in hell. Like, what? Now I'm scared. Then I carry that hate and shame growing up as a teenager because of that, that I'll be going to hell anyways. Yeah, and I had a hard time, and I kept denying it too, that I was that way. Growing up, I told myself that I was bi, not gay. Then I finally came out to my cousin that I told her that I was into guys. And then later years, back in 2013, that I found a term, the two-spirit, this medicine man who adopted me later on in years, that he told me that, that guy's a two-spirit, you're two-spirit. Like, what is that? What does that mean, you know? And I was curious what that term was, because it was new to me. And then I did my research, and I felt really connected to that. And yeah, so that's my coming out story, a little coming out story. But there's more that I want to share later on in the future.
For sure. I think we have a lot of things that we can share in our experiences that can help other youth that are going through similar things. I think a lot of our youth find themselves in the same boat in regards to being on the res and, you know, questioning identity and questioning the support that they could receive from the people. And then there's those God sent people that, you know, support you no matter what. And I think it's important that those people continue to support our youth. And it's so incredibly important to continue doing that. And I think that's why we're doing this work, is to make a community that can support the youth if the youth can't find the support in their communities. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Lucille, what about you? What's your story?
I came out late, like in my early 20s. And I'm in my early 30s now. Yeah, I am old. <I'm just kidding. laughs> Yeah, I came out in my early 20s. And I was like, you know what? Well, I came out as bisexual at first, and I was like, you know what, I like women, I like men, but I also felt like, you know, I felt masculine and feminine, and as I reflect back into my childhood, like, I knew I was different, like, I felt different, you know, I couldn't really connect with people. And I suppressed, you know, that identity, you know, of being two-spirit. Like, I found out, like, later, you know, in my 20s that, you know, I'm two-spirit. My first, I heard the term, then I did my research. I don't know, like, I just knew that I was different. I did tell my parents. I told my dad, and he told me that I was going to hell. And he said that, you know, it's against my religion. I was like, so is adultery. Like, it's a sin. I guess I'll meet you there. He's having it. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I'll meet you there.
You know, the thing about that too is that, like, due to colonization, we only have those beliefs because of colonization. Our communities and our people only have those beliefs because of colonization. You know, before colonization, do you think we were ostracizing our youth that identify as something other than straight? No, we, of course not. We were, you know, widely accepted. You know, homosexuality is something that exists across all kinds of living beings on this earth.
especially the snail. Snail has a what? You know?
A snail is two-spirit?
Yeah, a snail is two-spirit. I know that's a weird example, but there's two spirits in plants too, which is so awesome. And
I mean, like, you even see, like, you ever see penguins, like, you know, those videos of penguins, and then all of a sudden there's two males taking care of a baby? Like, you know, that exists. And why is it unnatural to happen in humans when it's obviously happening in nature? I never understood that. And I never understood why or where this teaching came from that says that homosexuality is a sin. Like, who came up with that? You know, where does that come from? And I always think about it. And then I think about how, you know, our people are impacted by this one book that says that.
I think that the Bible is like, it's interpreted by, you know, white people, exactly. Like white settlers, and they change it around and be like, hey, I don't go with this. I'm going to change it. You know, it's going to be the way I want it to be.
Well, if you think about the, I mean, like, not to get too much into theology, but like, if you think about the creation of the Bible, the kings that have existed have constantly changed the wording. You know, it's been through review and review and review, and throughout those reviews, the interpretation has been lost. Even interpreting like the Bible as it was written in the language that it was written, interpreting it into English, there was misinterpretations. You know, Leslie, did you have something to say about that?
I think that the Bible that white people took is just a borrowed from other cultures and like put it into one book to control people. You know,
mm-hmm. You just take bits and bits of what they want it to be, and it's like
whatever suits their own agenda.
Yeah,
that's kind of like how it went, but. You know, there's nothing wrong with us.
The gender roles too, like, that's, you know, forced upon us. Like, gender, we didn't have that. You know, the male
depends on how a person felt, I guess. Mm-hmm. What they want to take, especially as a two-spirit person, they had two choices, either go hang out with the women or go hunting with the males.
So Leslie, why have you decided to come join us? You know, like what is your drive? Like, what is your driving motivation to be here today?
To be here today with you guys, with the group, I want to help out the youth too. Ever since I went back to my community in 2017, I wanted to create a youth council for the youth that are in my community, but that fell. But they offered me a job to make a community plan, but my main focus was with the youth and how their community is going to look like in the future. And then as for elders, I work with them to see what they want for the youth in the future, especially the children. I mean, like, we're not gonna like stay here or live long to see the changes, but we want to like make that positive ripple effect, I guess, to create change for the youth and the children. And it could be like passed on. And yeah. Also, I want to create a safe space for Indigenous youth who identify themselves as two-spirit. Because I know what it feels like to feel lost or don't feel right, I guess. And yeah, I want to share my stories to them and
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It like to me, it sounds like, you know, we have to make this first step in order to make that change, right? And maybe that's why we're all here today, is to start making those steps to change how our youth are treated in our communities and to change the outcomes that some youth face due to difficulties and challenges that other people think negatively of them. I don't know, that sentence wasn't very well constructed, but basically I think we're all here to make that first step in changing how we operate and creating a more accepting environment for our people. Lucille, what's your motivation for being here today?
My motivation is that, you know, get to be part of something that I believe is going to be, you know, very impactful on, you know, in the community. And there's a lot that, you know, I want to do, and this is part of it. Yeah, like I have kidney failure, and, you know, that really like set me up like for, like, as if I have no, like, I have less time. And what I want, like, I just want to do what I can while I'm still here. And that way, the work will continue with the youth.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The reason why I'm here today is because I know a lot of our youth are facing mental health struggles. You know, I've experienced my fair share of mental health struggles. I've experienced my own kind of, I felt very negative about myself when I was going through my identity questions. You know, I didn't want to live at the time, and it would have helped if I had other Two-Spirit people to talk to when I was that age. I must have been about 14. When I was first coming out, I didn't have any of those Two-Spirit role models that I knew of. And, you know, there was a lot of times where I was just very, very sad because I didn't feel right. I didn't feel normal. And then eventually, I started looking for those Two-Spirit role models, and then that's where I came across Minnie's book. And I read that book, and it struck with me, like it stuck with me, and
I love that book.
It's a great book. Like it just really, it really showed me who I am. Like it, I related directly to it, and the reason why I'm here is because I want to help youth who are going through similar situations. You know, I was in Thunder Bay going through this, and I can't imagine the difficulties and the barriers and the challenges that youth face who are on reserve, you know, where there's limited resources, limited role models that are Two-Spirit. I mean, like, I have no idea how it is to be on reserve, but, and maybe, like, I know there's a lot of good things too about being on reserve, like the land-based stuff and being around your family and the lands that your ancestors occupied before then. But at the same time, there's that other side where, you know, that it's lacking the resources. So the reason why I'm here is to talk about our experiences, and maybe a youth who can't access the role models or access the resources can tune in and listen to our experiences, you know. And I want to normalize being Two-Spirit or part of the LGBTQ community, because I think it's important. I don't want to lose any youth who are like us because they don't feel supported or loved. So I guess we're on a mission to start a community for Two-Spirit LGBTQ First Nation youth in Ontario.
On a mission. Yeah. So, speaking of Mani and her book, what was your favorite part of the book when you read her autobiography?
My favorite part was when I think it was one of her relatives who noticed that she was two-spirit and told her that she'd have a hard life. And I don't know. That's something that I can remember. I can't remember everything, but I read it years ago, a couple years ago now. Must have been like 2014, 2015 or something. I can't remember, but I can't even remember. It would have been a while ago, but I do remember that part. That's the only thing that I can remember right now. I have to reread it.
That's an awesome book. I resonated when she was a little girl, that she was looked after by her grandma. And then I really connected to that part of the story. And yeah, it really resonated me, her being with her grandma. Because I, as a kid, say about 4 to 8 years old, that I slept with my grandma right beside her bed, that I felt so emotional reading that part, because I lost my grandma back in 2016. So yeah, it was a great, awesome story. Very touching too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it really helped with my self-acceptance, that's for sure. You know, like somebody else out there is going through, you know, the same identity questions that I did, and they're perfect. They made it, you know, they made it through it, and they have the courage to be who they are and write a book and live proudly. And that really, really resonated with me as well.
Lucia, have you read the book?
No, but I have it, and I've been building a relationship with money.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she told me, you know, about her childhood and, you know, about her grandma. The one, I think it was her grandma that you know, saw that her granddaughter is two-spirit. And I don't know, like, Manid, she feels like an auntie, you know, an older auntie. And, you know, I admire her strength and, you know, what she's gone through. And she's also an artist, you know, and she's, I don't know, she's awesome. She's just awesome, man.
If you think about it, she's paved the way for so many two-spirit people. You know, she's paved the way for us to have these conversations and to begin talking about these experiences that we have. You know, there's so many youth that I've encountered already that have read the book and have resonated with the story as well. It's pretty amazing the impact that she's made.
Yes, and that is inspiring me, and like inspiring me to, you know, like I want to create a drum group of two-spirit people, but I know that we will get backlash from the indigenous community, who are homophobic and transphobic. You know, some of the people are like that, and, you know, they have that whole, you know, women shouldn't be at the big drum. They should be backup singers.
First of all, woman made drums.
The drum came.
The drum came from the woman, and she made it.
That's funny that you bring that up. A lot of my questions exist around gender teachings. I think we've talked about this before, but gender teachings, like, where did those come from? You know, why do we uphold these gender teachings when before colonization, we didn't have any issues with being either or gender?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Gender roles, you know, they're colonial, traditional. Like when we had this little ceremony, I was told that I had to sit a certain way, and that my sexual reference, it's not about my sexual reference or whatever. And I was like, my sexual reference doesn't define who I am. Like, being two-spirit is not just about sex. I don't know. It's just sometimes it's hard to like try to educate people who don't want to listen.
I think too is, how are we supposed to feel safe in a place that doesn't take into account who we are as people. I heard before that the first teaching that we have is love. We're not practicing love if we're judging our neighbor or judging our youth and, you know, putting those limitations on how we express ourselves or how we come into a space where we are supposed to feel supported and welcomed. Like, before anything, we're supposed to be practicing love instead of judgment.
And that we must follow intelligent kindness, wisdom, honesty, loyalty, humility, love, and humor. We're all humorous in our own way too, and which is very wow. Like, that is us. Like, we are very humorous people in our own way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, you hear us like laughing all the time. Lucille's laugh is my favorite.
Yeah, and we'd make jokes, and that's how we heal too. Like, we use humor. And people usually just laugh at my laugh. That's makes it even funnier. Just kidding.
I expect as we go along, we'll get better at this too. And I really hope that we're able to change some minds and change some ideas and make a change in our communities. You know, it's important that we're always evolving, because we could be better than how we've been.
And to move forward and to have a better place for our two-spirited youth and children.
Yep, move forward side to side, because time is not linear.
Yeah, move forward side to side, get on the round dance.
Start jigging to it.
Thank you for tuning in to our first episode. We hope to see you at the next one. If any of our listeners are struggling with their mental health, please reach out. Hope for Wellness Helpline is 1-855-242-3310. Kids Help Phone is 1-800-668-6868. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook pages under Nijayak Alliance, or send us an email at nijayakalliance@gmail.com. Spelled NIIZHAAYEK Alliance. This podcast is made possible by Youth Opportunities Fund, Ontario Trillium Foundation.